I too, Harold Kimball Oral, interviewer, continuing the interview, and we'll try to pick up where we left off. Would you like to continue?
All right. I think I was talking about Dr. Spock coming to Pittsburgh.
Right.
Jimmy spent 2 days with him, and he suggested that instead of putting Jimmy into the orthogenic school under Dr. Bettelheim in Chicago, that he that we not disturb our home life again, that Jimmy be placed at WPI with in under Dr. Spock's management. He felt at that time that given Jimmy's intelligence in certain areas, demonstrated intelligence, that Jimmy might indeed make a recovery. I remember him saying, I'll be there when he graduates from medical school. Interestingly, one of the children in the group who had probably the most sad prognosis is the one child who, for some reason, came out of it. Mm-hmm. So there's, of course, much to be learned in this field. Jimmy was there until he was about 7 or 8 years old. And then he had, we recognized that he was not going to get well and that he needed special schooling and special care, which we then provided along with having college students stay with us, whom we paid, gave room and board and paid a stipend to in return for being a big brother to Jimmy. He learned a lot of things from these young men, and for the most part, it worked out quite well. When Jimmy was 21, we realized that he needed to learn to live away from home. And at that time, we started looking for a new facility. During these years, Julian and I involved ourselves in many ways to develop facilities for disturbed and mentally handicapped children. We started the League for Emotionally Disturbed Children. It was through our efforts that the League became part of the United Mental Health. We opened a school at the Paul Zedek Synagogue called the Paul Zedek School, which was a wonderful non-sectarian project serving young, seriously disturbed children. We also were amongst the group that started the a school now housed in East Liberty for disturbed children. Would you stop the tape and I'll get the name?
Go.
The name of the school, which is still in existence and has grown to be a very good community facility, is known as Technoma Workshop.
Oh, I've heard of that. Sure.
And Jimmy spent several years there. When he was 21, we began to look for facilities away from home because we realized that we were not going to be here always, and we didn't want to wait until he was unable to make an adjustment away from home. He lived in Philadelphia for 4 years at an institution in Florida for a short time. And then, not being happy with either of these facilities, I decided to make a study of facilities for handicapped young adults. By that time, Jimmy was 29. And indeed, we contacted every secretary of health and welfare from Maine to Florida, as far west as the Mississippi, asking for the availability of public and private facilities that could serve the needs of a 29-year-old autistic person. Then Julian took off 2 weeks, and the two of us started to travel to look at these facilities. We were sent on a lot of wild goose chases by physicians and psychiatrists who we found ourselves looking at facilities for drug rehabilitation and all kinds of things that were inappropriate. The only reason that I mention this is because I have to stress how important it is to treat each problem individually, and how important it was for us to visit facilities to determine as parents whether we could feel comfortable letting our child live in such a facility. We found a cooperative village in Crozet, Virginia, about 17 miles from Charlottesville, Virginia, 500-acre farm, run a little bit like a kibbutz, where 35 mentally handicapped adults live and work side by side with so-called volunteers, young, educated idealists, the kind who would go to the Peace Corps. And Jimmy has lived there now for about 13 years, and it has been a successful living experience for him.
It's hard to think of a question after that. You've covered it very well indeed. Except to say, would you like to mention what else was going on in your life during that period?
One day I was serving on a panel. The purpose of this panel was to speak to the problems of parents of sick children, to help them to deal with their problems. And at the end of the evening, the psychiatrist with whom I had shared the podium asked me how I felt as the parent of a sick child, speaking so openly about my needs and my problems. And I jokingly said that I felt as though I were undressing in public, and that it was a difficult thing for me to do, but that I felt that it was an important thing to do. And he suggested that I use my talent for communication in some areas in which I might be still concerned but more objective, that perhaps I could use my energies in ways that might not take the emotional toll. I had begun to be active at the auxiliary at the Montefiore Hospital, and I had just completed some work at the United Jewish Federation Women's Division, and I decided that I would devote more of my energy in those directions. And I became the chairman of the gift shop at the Montefiore Hospital, which used some of my experience as a merchandiser. And I had a lot of fun putting in an inventory control system and continued to move in that area. And I became much more involved in the United Jewish Federation. I particularly enjoyed the Department of Education because it gave me an opportunity to communicate to others my concern about Jews in America and Jews all over the world. And I moved through that through the chairs and became president of the women's division. I also served as campaign chairman. And I did the same thing at Ladies Hospital Aid, where I moved through the chairs and became vice president of each department.
Well, you've had quite a few experiences then in different types of community work. Is there any particular one that you look on fondly or that you found more satisfying?
Well, I found that each one of these jobs was, at the time that, was on time, at the time that I worked, I worked with great concern and enthusiasm in almost every job that I did. At the same time that I was involved at the United Jewish Federation, I also had become, through my work with the United Mental Health, a member of the board of the United Way. And then, because I had had experience as a fundraiser, someone asked me if I would do the cancer fund drive, which I did, and the citywide drive. Mm-hmm. Then I was asked to do the neighborhood drive for the United Way, which, of course, I was able to draw on the organizational experience that I had had in the other field, neighborhood drive for the United Way. Then I became involved in their allocations process. At that time, I also went on the Big Board of Federation and served for 10 years on its allocating board. I was honored by the United Way as an outstanding volunteer a couple of years in a row, and then I was fortunate enough to be awarded the Community Service Award by the ZOA at approximately that time. And in 1982, I was presented with the Specter Award by the United Jewish Federation. In 1983, the Federation asked if I would take charge of a rather unique project, which was called the Full Life Festival. The Full Life Festival was a four-day fair sponsored by Federation, where every public and private agency serving people 60 and older could demonstrate how they could meet the needs of our older population. This was a first for Federation. We published a book, we put on a show, and we had a four-day fair at Temple Road of Sholem. Over 4,000 people attended, this was financed through the cooperation of several corporations, many corporations in Pittsburgh. It was a very successful and unique and satisfying project for me. Through this project, and because my mother, who was just 95 in December, was living with me at the time, and I was interested in meeting her needs, I have become deeply interested in projects for the elderly. I serve on the board of Federation's Committee for the Aging, Riverview Apartments, Riverview Center for Jewish Seniors, which had been known as the Jewish Home for the Aged. And I was appointed by Governor Thornburg to the Pennsylvania Council on Aging and the State Planning Board. Last summer, the county commissioners presented me with an award for outstanding service to the elderly of Pittsburgh. Very thrilling thing for me to receive. My last project was a project at the Riverview Center for Jewish Seniors called Therapeutic Activities, a pilot project involving people who have had serious memory loss and mental deterioration due to their age, in involving them in social activities. This demonstration project was funded last year on a very small scale by the United Jewish Federation. We have just received a grant from the county commissioners to expand the project, and hopefully it's my dream that the Riverview Center for Jewish Seniors will become a therapeutic facility so that no one will be sitting in the halls tied to a chair, even for their own safety, and ignored most of the time.
Yes, I'd like to ask you some personal reactions to these systems that you've been involved in. For example, I'll come back to the Jewish Home for the Aged, but what's on my mind now, because I'm familiar with it, is Western Psych. Would you like to make some commentaries about your feelings about this institution in Pittsburgh? How do you think they're doing the job? Is there room for improvement?
I'm really not current on what is happening there. When Jimmy was 29, before he went to live in Virginia at Innisfree Village, which is the name of the facility where he lives, I took him back to Western Psychiatric for a month for evaluation, because it had been a long time since he had been checked. And I found people to be very kind. I found the facility to be, that we were exposed to be, excuse me, run well. But I really haven't been current. And so I'm not in a position yet.
I see you're picking your mind. You would be more familiar then with Riverview and the facilities,
yes,
there.
My interest today is in the development of appropriate long-term care. I find that, and I'm sure you've read this, that most people who are retired have counted on Medicare to take care of them as they get older, and if they end up in a nursing home. Of course, we have all learned that this is not going to help them a bit, and that long-term care is very costly, and the people who work in long-term care facilities are for the most part very poorly trained and are at the bottom of the wage scale. This last Sunday in the New York Times, there was an article revealing that the federal government has just passed a new law regarding nursing home facilities. This is a very important thing for which we have been working very hard. I hope that the implementation of this law won't be extremely difficult, but it's going to change nursing homes. Not only will it improve nursing homes all over the country, but unfortunately it will make them considerably more expensive. And there are two groups of people who can afford to be in nursing homes today. One are, you know, I don't want to get on a soapbox here.
This is your chance.
One group are the indigent. And it's unfortunate, but middle-class people very often have to make themselves indigent in order to get care in nursing homes. They have to spend down in order to be eligible for Medicaid. The other group of people who can afford to be in nursing homes are people who are extremely wealthy. Middle-class people are really in a terrible bind. So at this stage, the thing that I'm working, not alone, but with a large other group of people, working to do is I think that people should have, when they're young enough to be able to afford it, long-term care policies, which will at least partially pay for their care if they end up in a nursing home, which chances are they will also pay for some assistance at home if they don't go into a nursing home. Then, of course, the important thing is that government, through Medicare, and it will be costly, provide for everyone at least partial payment if one needs to spend their last days in a nursing home. And because medical care has improved so much over the last decade or two, people are living longer.
Indeed they are.
For instance, my mother, who was hospitalized last winter with pneumonia and heart failure,
recovered
because the doctors were smart enough to give her the right antibiotics and to help her, and she's 95 years old and she's a frail lady.
Mm-hmm.
And 20 years ago perhaps she would not have recovered.
In the same vein, since we have to get as much information as we can for these researchers, I'd like on the record that you may explain how does a nursing home work. For example, take our Jewish nursing home. What is the system? What happens to a person with, let's say, middle class monies in the bank? There's all kinds of stories around about what happens to them that
well,
we can get.
Well, actually, what happens is that if one has a family member who will accompany the elderly person, they come into the nursing home, into any nursing home. And if they are in fact, tell the truth about their financial resources, it is determined what they can afford. If they want a private room and bath, and there's one available, and they can afford it, with medication, it comes to about $2,800 a month, private room and bath. If you want to have private duty aides assist this person, that, of course, is an additional charge. Mm-hmm. So that we're talking about a lot of money if, of course, they don't need a private room. Having a semi-private room costs less, and there, of course, are the older parts of the buildings, but which are well kept, serve the needs of those whose means are less. In the Jewish community, no one is turned away, and so there, of course, if the family cannot afford to help, then a person goes on Medicaid and they become charges of the state. The state will provide the funds. Or if your funds run out, the state will provide the funds.
But there are, would you say, I don't want to make any statement, would you say that there are different degrees of care depending on the monies?
No, I wouldn't say there are different degrees of care because I think everyone gets the same food, everyone gets the same nursing care. However, if one can afford to have private aides,
luxury,
naturally, This is a landed luxury, exactly.
Yes.
Well, my mother says to me very often, my mother is quite memory impaired now, but she's not demented. She's still, we can have conversations and she makes sense. And the one thing that she pleads is that I do not leave her alone. She doesn't want to be alone. I'm sure this is true of many people who live in institutions who are unable.
With all the luxury in the world,
who are unable to have private duty nurses, but this is what we choose, how we choose to spend my mother's resources. I would hope that that most children would feel that way, but not all do. I have to say that there are times that I feel as though I am over-involved at this stage of my life. On the other hand, it's a source of great... My volunteer work has stimulated me. It has helped me not to focus on my handicapped child. I might have had the opportunity to feel depressed if I had focused on problems. It's been a source of solving problems. It's been a source of great satisfaction to me. I remember my father telling me many times when I was a child that we were put here to not only to receive but to put back in a share of what we have been fortunate enough to receive. And if in any way I have been able through my efforts as a volunteer to do this, I know that he knows.
That's your reward. We still have about this much on the tape.
May
is there something you'd like to ask?
Yeah. Sure. What are your hopes, Harriet, in this field of aging? You talked about the insurance program as one of your hopes.
Yes.
What else would you like to see happen, either locally or on a national scale?
Well, of course, if there will be a federal long-term plan that is affordable as a part of Medicare or perhaps a combination of federal and state support, I think this would be a tremendous relief to those who are aging, and it's really the most important thing. And I would like to see every nursing home become a model of therapy as well as a storage facility. I think that every person deserves concern and dignity, and to be treated with concern and dignity and caring. And I'm sure that when that happens, there'll be something else.
But tell me, how do you feel walking through the aged sections and seeing what goes on? By that, I've been through them, so I know.
I can tell you that I go every day that I can, and that's maybe 6 days a week. And I find it to be very depressing.
That's when I was...
And that's why I think it's so urgent that we change.
Yes, it is depressing. And I admire you for being so... You're there.
Well...
You're dependable.
I love my mother and admire her. And I feel as though I kneel. We have a very small family, and she needs me, and I want her to end her days with dignity and a feeling of love.
That's wonderful. I think you've said it all. I don't think that we need to ask it another question.
Another thing.
No, except to say thank you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Wonderful table.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Our
much.
Timing was excellent, and I got all choked up in the end. Forgive me.
This was a beautiful interview. When I told you this was a horrible picture, a group of daycare centers for the frail elderly. Council Care Number One serves people who are getting older, who can still live at home, who need socialization while their children work, and who need socialization so that they have a better